The Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies are gearing up for a three-game set in Atlanta, and these series always deliver. Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome into another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, your daily source of news, notes, and updates on all things Major League Baseball. I'm Troy Brock, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. And Drew Crabtree is sick today, so I am riding solo. So best thoughts and wishes out to Drew. Hope he gets to feeling better today and gets some rest. And we've got a packed show today still. We're going to go over the games that took place last night. We're going to look ahead to the games we have to look forward to today. And, of course, we are going to preview the series of the week, the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when more episodes just like this go live. If you're listening on audio, give us a five-star rating and share it with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of news, notes, and updates on all things Major League Baseball. Check out the First Pitch newsletter. New issue today talked about the Houston Astros placing Spencer Arrigetti on the injured list with a freak accident injury. We also talked about Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman, two former Houston Astros, winning the National League and American League Players of the Week awards, respectively, as well as some other notables from yesterday's action and other notable news from yesterday, and what we have to look forward to on the docket today. Also, stick around to the end of the podcast. I have an announcement, some big content coming up for y'all later on in the week. So stick around to the end of the episode, and hopefully I remember to share it with y'all. If I don't remember to share it with y'all, hit me up in the comments, and I'll share it with y'all either in the comments of this video or at the open of tomorrow's episode. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and jump in and take a look back at the games from yesterday. And first game that took place yesterday was the Yankees at the Tigers, and the Tigers and Casey Mize took it to the New York Yankees. Tigers win 6-2. Casey Mize is now 2-0 with a 0.77 ERA through his first two starts. Wrote a little bit about that in the notables of today's newsletter. And Carlos Rodon falls to 1-2 with a 5.19 ERA. He continues to be not good outside of the 1.5 to 2 seasons that he was good earlier in his career. He hasn't been good for the rest of it. Cardinals and the Pirates. Pirates take game one of that series 8-4. A lot of scoring in that one, as we expected. Not a good pitching matchup. Mladzinski got the win, 1-1 with a 5.19 ERA. Dodgers and the Nationals. National League East, baby. I've been telling y'all to keep an eye on them Nationals, and they have been pesky, and it's National League East is the best division in baseball. The Nationals win 6-4. Mackenzie Gore had another good outing, 1-1 with a 2.65 ERA. Dustin May takes the L in his first start of the year, 0.82 ERA for him. And Kyle Finnegan picks up his fourth save of the year. That was a 6-4 final there. Dodgers fall to 9-3. Nationals 4-6. Blue Jays at the Red Sox. Blue Jays take that one 6-2. Jose Berrios gets the W over Dick Fitz, who now falls to 0-2 with a 4.5 ERA. And not much to talk about in that one. Marlins and Mets. The Mets move to 7-3 with a 2-0 victory over the Marlins. The Marlins are now 5-5. And Kodai Senga got the win in his second start of the year. He is now 1-1 with a 1.80 ERA. The Mets continue to have an easy schedule early in the year. They've had probably one of the easiest schedules to start the year. It's certainly been easier than the Braves and the Phillies have faced and the Nationals. So take their record and their pitching performances with a grain of salt, a massive grain of salt, maybe even a mound of salt. And I know that everybody has to play everybody throughout the season now that the schedules are even. But they still have a pretty historically soft schedule to start the season. Rangers at the Cubs. Cubs shut out the Texas Rangers. Justin Steele gets his fourth decision in as many starts. He is now 3-1 with a 4.76 ERA. And Nathan Eovaldi takes the loss, 1-1 with a 2.29 ERA. 7-0 ball game there. Cubs move to 8-5. Rangers are 8-3. I was actually going to mess with Drew a little bit this morning with that final score, saying, hey, look, looks like the Cubs are better than the Cincinnati Reds because they didn't get shut out by Nathan Eovaldi, but you know, he's not here. But if you're listening, Drew, Cubs are better than the Reds. You didn't hear it from me. You heard it on the field. Minnesota Twins at Kansas City Royals. Royals moved to 5-5 with a 4-2 victory over the Twins and continue to lead the American League Central. Michael Lorenzen gets the dub, 1-1, 3.18 ERA. Simeon Woods Richardson takes the L, 0-1 with a 5.59 ERA. And Carlos Estevez, he gets his third save of the year. Orioles at Diamondbacks. The Orioles move to 5-6 and drop the Diamondbacks to 5-6 with a 5-1 victory for the Orioles. The battle of the Zacks delivered for one side at least, as Zach Eflin moves to 2-1 with a 3.0 ERA, and Zach Gallen falls to 1-2 with a 5.28 ERA. That 5.28 ERA from Zach Gallen is the second best mark on the Diamondbacks rotation behind only Brandon Pfaadt, who has a 5.25 ERA. The Diamondbacks have been just ghastly on the mound to start this season, and they're going to have to turn that around quick, fast, and in a hurry if they don't want to dig themselves too big of a hole in the National League West. Astros at Mariners. Mariners win this one 4-3. They are now 4-7, while the Astros are 4-6. It was the Astros bullpen that hurt him in this one, as Wesneski went 7 innings in his second start of the year since coming to the Astros. Only 3 hits, no walks, allowed 2 runs and 5 strikeouts. And Logan Gilbert had a good start also, albeit shorter. 5 2/3, 1 hit, 2 walks, 1 run allowed, and 7 strikeouts. Drops his ERA to 2.55. Wesneski sits at 3.75, and it's not very often that the Houston Astros bullpen is the cause of their loss, but it was in this one, 4-3 ball game, and they still have a half-game lead over the Mariners in the American League West, though neither are catching up with the Rangers at any point in this season. Cincinnati Reds at the San Francisco Giants. For the first time, maybe ever, Hunter Green received better. The Reds beat the Giants 2-0. Hunter Green went 8 2/3 strong innings. It was a fantastic outing from Hunter Green. He is now 1-1 with a 1.31 ERA. Strong start to the year for him. And there was no scoring in this one until the 8th inning off Camilo Duvall. He has just not been good. Kind of along the same lines as Carlos Rodon, Duvall has not been good outside of the 1 to 1.5 seasons that he was good. He's been pretty bad otherwise. Padres at the Athletics. Padres win 5-4. Michael King moves to 2-0 with a 4.05 ERA. Luis Severino moves to 0-2 with a 4.74 ERA. And Suarez gets the save, his 5th of the year. Padres are now 9-2, while the Athletics are 4-7. And the Padres are now the leader in the National League West, a half game above the Giants. And the Giants and Dodgers are still in a virtual tie for second. But that is all of the games that we had yesterday. I do believe we have a full slate of games on tap for today, 4, 8, 12, 15. Yes, indeedy, we do have a full slate of games on tap for today. And, you know, with the beginning of this Atlanta Braves and Philadelphia Phillies series, the first game of the series is one of the best pitching matchups you're going to see all year. And it's just absolutely fantastic that the rotations worked out this way so that we can get this pitching matchup. Because in game one of this Braves-Phillies series in Atlanta, Zach Wheeler takes the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies, while Chris Sale takes the mound for the Atlanta Braves. The Chris Sale, of course, won the National League Cy Young in 2024 on the back of his National League Triple Crown that he also won, and Zach Wheeler was the runner-up for the National League Cy Young, the second time he has finished as the runner-up for the National League Cy Young, but he has consistently been the best pitcher in baseball over the past 3 years or so, and Chris Sale coming off of his Cy Young season, he's kind of struggled so far this year, but you expect Chris Sale to turn it around because it's Chris Sale. He has a track record of success throughout his career, and this series is going to be hands down as good, if not better, than the Phillies-Dodgers series was over the weekend. I know we've kind of turned into the Phillies podcast over the past week, but it's not my fault that this is how the schedule has worked out, and it has worked out tremendously. The Phillies go from facing the Dodgers in a potential National League championship series matchup to facing the Braves in another potential National League championship series matchup, because even though the Braves are 1-8 to start the year, they still on paper have one of the best rosters in baseball. And that's even without Ronald Acuña Jr. and Spencer Strider, who have not returned from injury yet. Spencer Strider should return this weekend, if not next week. And then Ronald Acuña Jr. depends on what the doctors tell him in California this week, but he is eyeing May 2nd for a return, the Braves series against the Dodgers. So they should be back for most of the season, barring any other setbacks or any other injuries. But regardless, the Braves have one of the best rosters in the sport, even without those two guys. They just have not performed. I say they haven't performed. They have performed fantastically. If you look at their Baseball Savant pages for the guys that you expect to be good, their Baseball Savant pages have a lot of red in them, not much blue. The results just have not been there to this point. And those results will get there over the course of a full 162-game season, as we saw last year. Kind of the Braves kind of got off to the same start last year. It wasn't as bad as it is this year, but they got off to the same kind of start where they just weren't hitting. They weren't receiving the results that their inputs normally generate and that you normally see from guys of their caliber. And later in the season, the second half of the season, Matt Olson was the best offensive first baseman in baseball. And, you know, you don't expect Matt Olson to not be good and not hit a lot of home runs. And he didn't do that over the first half of last season. He hasn't done that to this point this year, but over the course of a full season, you can expect Matt Olson to hit a lot of home runs, and Austin Riley, you can expect Austin Riley to hit. I don't think Ozzie Albies is the same Ozzie Albies from 4 or 5 years ago. I think that he is kind of washed now because he's older, and I think he was kind of more of a flash in the pan along the same lines as Carlos Rodon and Camilo Duvall, who we talked about in the recap of yesterday's games. But, and that might be controversial, it might be polarizing, but that's just the way I see Ozzie Albies. Marcell Ozuna, he's walked a lot this year. He is severely cut down on his chasing, and his plate discipline has tremendously improved, and he has walked a lot this year. And again, Zach Wheeler, you're not going to get a lot of those walks because Zach Wheeler doesn't walk a lot of batters. He throws strikes, and he throws hard strikes, and he gets a lot of strikeouts, and he keeps that ERA low, and it's gearing up to be, again, as good as the Phillies-Dodgers series was over the weekend, if not better, because these two teams are division rivals, and they are, while they're not right now, they are at some point going to be in a race for the division. And you know, the Phillies won the National League East last year with 95 wins. The Braves had 95 wins for the Phillies. The Braves had 89. Now, when you look at the Phillies' record against the other teams in the National League East, you know, you have the Miami Marlins, who the Phillies have struggled with over the past few years, but they did have a winning record against the Miami Marlins 7-6 in those 13 games, and they outscored them 73-61. The New York Mets, again, in the regular season, the Phillies had a winning record against the New York Mets at 7-6 and outscored them 69-59. And then the Washington Nationals, who, you know, the Nationals put out a tweet. If you're not a part of Phillies Twitter, you may not have ever seen this, but in 2020, I believe it was, the Nationals put out a tweet that it was easy to beat the Phillies. And ever since that tweet, I think the Nationals have beat the Phillies 5, maybe 6 times since 2020. And last year, maybe closer to 10 times. Last year, the Nationals only beat the Phillies 4 times, and the Phillies beat the Nationals 9 times and outscored them 65-45. But then you look at the Phillies against the Atlanta Braves last year, and these two teams are a lot closer on paper than any of the other teams in the National League East. Like, it is a clear divide from the Phillies and the Braves to the rest of the National League East. And this year, again, on paper, it's the Phillies and Braves, disregarding records, it is the Phillies and Braves, 1 and 2. Pick your poison. Either one can finish first, and the other one will finish second. To quote my favorite movie, Moneyball, 50 feet of crap, the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals, 3 and 4. Again, with the way the Washington Nationals have played to this point in the season, pick your poison. I have seen nothing different to tell me that the Nationals cannot finish third in the division with how they have performed to this point in the year. They were competitive against the Phillies, but the Phillies are one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best team in baseball. They took a game from the Dodgers. They are now this season one of only two teams in baseball that can say they have beat the Dodgers in any point in any game. And that's just paramount and a testament to how much stronger the National League East is than every other division in baseball. And yes, the Mets have started off strong, but again, their schedule has been just weak as can be. So I still think the Nationals have a chance to finish ahead of the New York Mets in the National League East. And then you got another 50 feet of crap, and it's the Miami Marlins, who, yes, they're 5-5, but it's the Marlins. They're not going to be 5-5. They're going to lose 100 games again this season. But it's just the Phillies and the Braves are just head and shoulders above everyone else. And they, even when the Braves were not great in 2024, they stepped up their game tremendously against the Atlanta Braves. And that's kind of been a theme around baseball. That's something I kind of want to dive deeper in a later episode of the podcast, or maybe even an edition of the newsletter. But a lot of these teams seem to step up their game against harder competition. Like and then other teams just don't. Like the teams in the National League East step their game up against harder competition, while teams outside of the National League East, they struggle against teams in the National League East. And that's another reason why the National League East is just so much better than every other division in baseball. And it's really not close. Like, the playoffs are a crapshoot. They are an absolute crapshoot. It's once you get into the playoffs, good luck, because they are a crapshoot. And this isn't coping as somebody who follows the Phillies, because they lost in the first round of the playoffs. It's the truth. If you ask anybody around baseball who follows baseball, the playoffs are a crapshoot. Once you get into the playoffs, good luck. All bets are off. Good luck. In the regular season, there is no question at all that the National League East is the best division in baseball. And this series that starts today is going to be another testament to just how great the National League East is, even when they're beating up on each other. The Atlanta Braves, it is not going to surprise me in the slightest if the Atlanta Braves take 2 of 3 of this series, maybe even sweep, because this is the series right here that is going to turn the Atlanta Braves season around, because they are going, and it may have been something that they have been looking forward to since the start of the season, because this series is so early in the season. And of course, we didn't know the pitching matchups and what the pitching matchups would be, or how the rotations would shake out leading in at the beginning of the season like we do now. But this is the kind of series that could get the Atlanta Braves back on track, because again, they won 7 out of the 13 games against the Philadelphia Phillies in 2024. And the Phillies were outscored 63-40 in that series. And really, that is one of the few teams that the Phillies had a losing record against, especially talking about the playoff contenders and legitimate World Series contenders from last year. The Braves were that and are still that this year, one of the three favorites entering the year for the World Series: the Braves, the Phillies, and the Dodgers. And it's just, it's going to be a battle of will and a battle of titans in this series. And honestly, over the past 10 minutes or so, I've kind of talked myself into being more excited about this series than I was about the Phillies and Dodgers series, just because of just how great it's going to be and how great the pitching matchups are. And yes, the pitching matchups in the Dodgers series with the Phillies were good, but you don't expect the Dodgers pitchers to last over a full year, whereas you can expect for the most part, the Braves pitchers to be great over a full year, like Spencer Schwellenbach. He's an ace. He is hands down an ace. Spencer Strider, when he returns, he's an ace. Chris Sale, throughout his career, has been an ace, and he won a Cy Young last year. And then on the Philly side, you have Zach Wheeler, the best pitcher in baseball over the past 2 to 3 years. You have Jesus Luzardo starting game 3 against Spencer Schwellenbach, which is arguably going to be the better pitching matchup than today's. But Jesus Luzardo, since joining the Phillies, has done nothing but shove. He has been one of the best pitchers this season on his new team. And it's just, it's amazing what joining a contender will do for Jesus Lizard, man. It's amazing what he's done. And he's facing Spencer Schwellenbach. It's going to be his hardest test of the year so far. And then tomorrow's game, you have Grant Holmes, whose name I couldn't remember yesterday. Thank you for the person in the comments of the live stream that reminded me of that while we were watching the premiere. But Grant Holmes, who is a solid fifth starter against Taijuan Walker, who surprised even his own mama in his first start of the year, albeit it was against the Colorado Rockies. I can't say that the Mets have had a weak schedule and then praise Taijuan Walker for his first start when it was against a weak opponent, but it was still a good start on the surface and from the input side of things. And I don't expect that tomorrow against the Braves, but if you do get that, it is going to be a full series of outstanding pitching matchups. I am not going to be surprised at all if games 1 and 3 of this series this week have a combined score less than 8. I am going to be pleasantly surprised if game 2 of this series has a combined score of less than 8, because that's the game. Game 2 is going to be the pivotal matchup here of which offense can turn things on and attack the weakest pitcher of the series from the opposing team. And it's going to be a fantastic series. I cannot wait. Games 1 and 2 are both on national television, with game 1 tonight coming on TBS and game 2 tomorrow going to be on MLB Network. And then Thursday, it is not on national television, but it is one of only 6 games that'll be taking place on Thursday. It is going to be a fantastic series. These two teams are pretty evenly matched, regardless of how they have performed to this point in the year. It is going to be, hands down, the best series of the week and again, a potential National League Championship Series matchup. But who knows how it's going to turn out? Again, I'm not going to be surprised at all if the Braves take 2 of 3, and I expect the Braves to get back on track and get things rolling and start having the results that their inputs have deserved during and after this series, and this to be the catalyst that gets the Braves back on track in starting in game 1 of this series tonight. And then, of course, we have a full slate of other games to look forward to today. We even have day games. Early in the season, we have had a lot of day games. I love it. I hope they continue this. I don't think they will, but I hope they continue this, giving us day games every day all throughout the year. Yankees and Tigers playing another day game today. Carlos Cookie Carrasco at Tariq Skubal. Both teams are 6-4. Skubal has not been great to start the year. He's 0-2 with a 5.91 ERA. The Yankees, despite what they've done over the small sample size of the early part of the season, their lineup is not great. It's Aaron Judge and the boys, and Tariq Skubal, if he's going to get back on track, this is going to be the lineup that he can do it against, because it's not a great lineup, and Tariq Skubal needs to get back on track, and this can be that start that does that for him. 4:10 p.m. Eastern, White Sox at the Guardians. Both teams below 500, both teams in the American League Central. Ben Lively gets the nod for Cleveland. He was their opening day starter. We talked about it yesterday. It's not been great for Cleveland so far this year, but they need to come out of this week with a winning record. Otherwise, it will be time to panic. For also at 4:10 p.m. Eastern, Marlins at the Mets. Clay Holmes is making his third start for the Mets. He is on the surface. He does have a 2.89 ERA with an 0-1 record. It has not been bad on the surface. Underneath the surface, it's been a lot worse. And once he starts facing opponents that are competitive, then you'll probably see that ERA begin to climb and balloon a lot higher than it has been to this point in the season. 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Cardinals at the Pirates. Sonny Gray at Paul Skenes. It is Paul Skenes Day. So not only do we get Zach Wheeler at Chris Sale, we also get Paul Skenes. He is 1-0 with a 1.46 ERA. Expect a lot more of the same from him tonight against the Cardinals in their weak lineup. Dodgers at the Nationals. Dodgers look to win for only the second time since Friday. They are 9-3. The Nationals are 4-6. Nationals are pesky. Told y'all all offseason. Been telling y'all to this point so far, all early in the season, the Nationals are pesky. Don't sleep on the Nationals. Also at 6:45 p.m. Eastern, the Toronto Blue Jays at the Boston Red Sox. Garrett Crochet making his third start of the year and his second start since getting the extension with the Boston Red Sox. He is 1-0 with a 1.38 ERA. And apparently the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. contract is not official yet. They are still awaiting the physical, and apparently it's impossible for them to do the physical on the road. So I don't know. This kind of goes back to the offseason when Lindsay and I had the running gag of an MRI machine is you have to fly back to where your team is normally located to use an MRI machine. God forbid you use one that's five steps away from you. It makes no sense to me, is what it is. Baseball's weird, man. 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Los Angeles Angels at Tampa Bay Rays. Kyle Hendricks and Shane Baz. Angels are 6-3. Rays are 4-5. Shane Baz making only his second start of the year, but he is 1-0 and has not allowed a run yet. Outside of Mike Trout and Logan Ohapi, apparently, it's going to be pretty easy for Shane Baz to continue that streak through his second start, though Kyle Hendricks should be a surprisingly good pitching matchup in that one. 7:15 p.m. Eastern, game we're all waiting for. Phillies at the Braves. 7-2 Phillies lead the National League East. The 1-8 Braves are bringing up the rear. Don't expect them to be bringing up the rear much longer. We've talked about this game already. Zach Wheeler and Chris Sale are going to be a hell of a matchup. Cannot wait for that one. Texas Rangers at Chicago Cubs, 7:40 p.m. Eastern. Patrick Corbin making his first appearance of the year. Jameson Taillon starting for the Cubs. Cubs are 8-5. Rangers are 8-3. That's a surprisingly also a fun series. Probably out of all of these series, the second best on the docket this week. Kind of like in that Cubs or Rangers series there. 7:40 p.m. Eastern also. Minnesota Twins at Kansas City Royals. Pablo Lopez getting the start for the Twins, and Cole Reagan's going for the Royals. Royals are 5-5. Twins are 3-7, and the Royals look to increase their lead in the American League Central. 8:40 p.m. Eastern. Milwaukee Brewers at Colorado Rockies. Peralta getting the start for Milwaukee and Freeland getting the start for Colorado. Both pitchers have ERAs in the low twos. This game is in Colorado. Don't expect that coming out of this one. 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Baltimore Orioles at Arizona Diamondbacks. Charlie Morton, Old Man River, 0-2, 972 ERA against Merrill Kelly, 1-1 with a 10 ERA, 10 even. Both teams are 5-6, looking to whoever wins this game will move to a 500 record. And Charlie Morton struck out a lot of guys in his last outing, but gave up a lot of runs also. And the Arizona Diamondbacks pitching staff has just given up a lot of runs in general throughout the early part of the season. And the Diamondbacks stadium is very, very, very hitter friendly and very, very, very conducive to high scoring games. So with these two pitchers on the mound, expect that tonight. Also at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Houston Astros at Seattle Mariners. Houston has not announced their pitcher yet, and the Mariners are going with the better of the two, Luis Castillo's. The Astros are 4-6, Mariners are 4-7. Whoever wins this ball game tonight will have the lead over the other team in the division, though, of course, the Rangers are the number one team in that division right now. 9:45 p.m. Eastern, Cincinnati Reds at San Francisco Giants. Nick Lodolo going for the Reds. He is 1-1 with a 1.42 ERA. That is going to be a good matchup there for the Reds. They look to move to 5-7, while the Giants look to move to 9-2. And speaking of teams who are 9-2, at 10:05 p.m. Eastern, the San Diego Padres take on the Athletics. Dylan Cease on the mound for the Padres and Springs on the mound for the Athletics. Cease is 1-0 with a 3.38 ERA, and Springs is 1-1 with a 4-even ERA. Padres look to be the first team to reach 10 wins this season, and it's they got the dub last night, and they got another good pitcher going for them tonight, so they have got a good chance of doing just that against the Athletics, as the National League West is better than the American League West, and there's no doubt about that. But that is going to do it for our show today. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when more episodes just like this one go live. And I didn't forget, though I did start my close before I announced it, the announcement for later this week. And it kind of coincides with the YouTube thing and making sure you have that notification icon on, because on Saturday, this coming Saturday, it is currently April the 8th. This coming Saturday is April the 12th. So on April the 12th, I will be doing a watch party for one of the afternoon ball games live on YouTube. So make sure that you are subscribed. Make sure you do have that notification icon turned on so you can be notified when that watch party begins. We're just going to watch a game together. I don't know which one yet. I will put up a poll closer to Saturday, probably on Thursday, to with the games that the choices will be between. Just want to get a little bit closer to time. That way we know what the weather's looking like and whether there's a chance of games being postponed, so on and so forth. And, of course, pitching matchups. We don't have all the pitching matchups for Saturday yet. But I am very much looking forward to that watch party, and I hope that is something that y'all will enjoy and join me for. So, again, it will be on YouTube. It will be live. Y'all will be watching a baseball game with me live. I will have the MLB.com game day feed on the screen so y'all can look at that. And I'll on the other screen, I'll have the game on mute. I might do some commentary on the game while we're watching it, something along those lines. Y'all can ask me questions in the chat. We're just going to have a good time. We're going to hang out, watch a baseball game together. And this is something that some of the more content that I want to bring y'all moving forward with First Pitch, the podcast and the video on YouTube and things of that nature. So again, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on that notification icon so you can be notified when a new episode goes live or when there is a live stream. If you're listening on audio, give us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. Check out the First Pitch newsletter. Again, in today's issue, talked about Spencer Arrigetti going on the injured list for the Houston Astros and Kyle Tucker and Alex Breckman, two former Astros, winning the National League and American League Player of the Week awards, respectively. So make sure you check that out. Link for the newsletter will be in the description. It is free to subscribe to the newsletter, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscriptions to the newsletter as they help keep the bills on around here. Thank y'all for joining us today. Until tomorrow, this has been First Pitch.